in your face.
Lights out, show is starting. Backlit, silhouette goddess. Legs for weeks, a minute, days. As you take position, center stage. Show me your spin, babe. Let's have a beautiful fling. We're drinking rosé straight from the bottle. Pink kisses, I'm on fire. Yeah, we could easily spend the whole night here. But I wanna hear the dance floor. Every time you twirl, I'm drawn into you closer, my dear. You're a dancing queen, I am monarchy. When you pirouette and you're spotting me, I can't set you free. If you keep dancing for me, my ballet boy, my ballet boy. Action, let's get dramatic. Your lines like an elegant addiction. I should probably treat this condition, but I kinda wanna dance more. Every time you talk, I'm drawn into you closer, my dear. You're a dancing queen, I am monarchy. When you pirouette, you're spotting me. I can't set you free. If you keep dancing for me, my
Noviello there, ballet boy, you are in your face here at 3CR with James, and Adam joins us in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's nice to see you again. I was trying to remember when I was here last time, what I was promoting. I was doing a show, I think, from memory.
You have done so many shows.
I mean, yeah. Might be why I can't remember, but it's nice to see you again.
It's so great to see you. You did Hedwig.
I did.
What was it like?
I mean, a dream, an absolute dream. It's actually my dream show. You often get asked that question as an actor, you know, what's your dream show and what's your dream role? And I've now done it, which is crazy, but it was wonderful. Sean Miley Moore and I starred in it, and we did three cities, and it was a whirlwind. I'm constantly pinching myself that I was in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, because it's iconic. It's an iconic show and an iconic role, and I got to play both roles. I played Yitzhak, but then I was the alternate to Hedwig, so I got to play both roles, which was crazy. I'm only the second actor in the world to ever do that, which is very cool. Yeah.
Got to ask, your career has just had this amazing trajectory the last 3 years.
Thank you.
Are you surprised?
Yes. I fluctuate. Sometimes I'm not surprised because I think I've worked so hard, and I've, as anyone in the arts will tell you, when you have a career in the arts, it is so much work and so much hustle. But most of the time I'm, like I said, pinching, because I can't believe that this is what I do and the places I've been, the people I've got to work with. And I'm very, very grateful and very, very happy to be in this place right now.
You have just segued from theatrical shows mm-hmm. to single releases mm-hmm. so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And you've done things that artists would give their eye teeth for, like topping the iTunes charts.
Yeah, that was a moment. That was a moment. That was my very first single, actually, Heretic, which I released a few years ago now. And yeah, when we went number one on the iTunes dance chart, that was, yeah, no one expected it. I certainly hadn't planned for it. So yeah, when my label called me being like, you might want to check the iTunes charts. And there it was. And I've had a bunch of songs appear in sort of top 20s and top 30s and things like that. But yeah, again, just so grateful. It's been a crazy time. It's been a crazy time.
How do you achieve that? What's your secret sauce?
It's honestly like, I hate to say this to people listening and to aspiring artists out there. I hate and love to say this, but it's like a large percentage hard work, small percentage talent, in my opinion. I feel like there are so many talented people in the world. There are better singers than me, better actors than me, better writers than me, but so much of it is having the tenacity to actually just fight for it, because it takes rejection, it takes putting yourself out there a lot, being willing to just back what you do and back who you are and back what you make, and just be open to throwing it out into a space of and a room of people, and being fully prepared that people might not take it and might not pick it up or might not like it, whether that's in front of an audience or just, you know, in any sort of creative setting. So it takes a lot of backbone, I guess, to be prepared for the rejection and prepared for the hard bit. But I think my secret sauce is just that I've always wanted this. I can't remember a time when I didn't want to sing, and I can't remember a time I didn't want to use the magic talent, whatever you'd like to call it, within me to put stuff out into the world. I've just always been this way, and I've just always known that I had to do whatever I had to do to make that happen.
Social media is part of your secret sauce. I mean, you do the most wonderfully intimate reels where you connect.
Thank you.
That's part of it.
It is. And it is nowadays. Like, I think so much of being a professional artist, particularly an independent artist, when you make your own music or make your own work, so much of it is about the marketing. And most of that presence now is online. It's all social media mostly. So, yeah, I've gotten the knack of it over the years. Gosh, if you deep scroll through my Instagram, there's some really dodgy stuff in there when we were figuring out how it all worked. But, yeah. Yeah, I just, like I said, I like what I make, and I just, it doesn't, as much as it's hard work and a lot of time to make the content to support music and support a career in the arts, like, I enjoy it because I'm proud of the things I'm making and the things I'm doing. So it's kind of easy to, for me anyway, to hit post, because I'm like, yeah, I like this song, or yeah, I like this look. So post, have a look. I just want everyone to see. Call me a diva, but I like it.
Do you feel like an elite athlete?
Sometimes, yeah. I depending on what I'm doing, yes. I mean, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, I definitely felt it, because that show, for those who haven't seen it or didn't see it, it's just two of us on stage and the band. And it is, particularly when you're on for Hedwig, it is a mammoth mountain to climb, because, you know, she sings like 9 of the 11 songs and monologues through most of the piece. And so you do feel like an athlete when you get through it 8 times a week, because you just, I remember there was one day in Sydney where I was on for Hedwig twice in one day, which hadn't happened for either Sean or I yet, to play the role twice in one day. And I went on as Hedwig and I did it twice in one day, and the role, you kind of come out fabulous and making people laugh and it's all wonderful, but then you have to pull yourself apart and die on stage emotionally, and then you have to piece yourself back together again. And to get through that twice in one day, yeah, I felt like an athlete. Hell yeah, I felt like a superhero. I was like, I can't believe my body just did that. I can't believe my voice just did that. So yeah, there are definitely moments doing what I do and doing what we do where you do feel superhuman, which is kind of cool.
You obviously exercise a lot, you train your voice a lot, and you obviously get good night's sleep.
Not always. I would like to sleep far more, but yeah, it's definitely part of it. It's part of, particularly in theatre, but, you know, as a musician, like, you just have to keep your voice healthy. And in order to do that, a lot of it is just exercise vocally. It's about making sure, yeah, you get rest, lots of hydration. My God, you can never drink enough water as a singer. But rest is honestly the biggest thing, particularly it's something like Hedwig or doing a musical. When you do a show 8 times a week, you're singing massive things 8 times a week. So you have to know when enough is enough, and you have to go, today is my rest day. I'm not going to do anything crazy. But I find when I'm gigging my music, it's a whole different level of athleticism, because you have to, you don't gig every day, so you might not gig for like a few weeks, but then all of a sudden you've got to play a 45-minute set doing big vocals. So it's just about balancing it and knowing your voice and knowing your instrument, like any sort of musician, I suppose.
All of your plays have been very physical, though, haven't they? You've had to run and jump and do all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Were you surprised that you've kind of ended up in these really physical roles? Was that part of the plan?
Not necessarily part of the plan. That part doesn't surprise me because I grew up, I was a dancer. I am a dancer. So I started in musical theatre, you know, in the ensemble, where you're having to put your body through crazy stuff in certain shows. I've done crazy things where I've been hanging from massive set pieces by my arms and dancing and singing at the same time. And I've done puppet work where you're like kind of like on all fours, like doing, you know, big singing and stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that at this point in my career and playing the roles I play now, that my physicality is a big part of the things I do, because I think people have seen me do it and know I can do it. I have a pretty agile body. But I like that. I love that. That's what I love, you know, particularly with working in theatre, but also on stage playing my own music, is just putting your body out there and just going like 120%. It's such an amazing feeling when you get through a show and you think, wow, my body did that. That's incredible. It's like you're going on a massive 3-hour hike up a mountain. You get to the end and you're like, wow, my body brought me here. And I feel the same when I'm on stage. I'm just like, wow, like my body did that. How amazing. You know, it's a cool feeling.
So you get an incredible physical high.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And every gig is different. I think that's the beauty of the arts, is that, you know, every role I play and every show I've done asks something different of me. And every song I write, I feel is a different story. It's a new facet of myself I'm sharing. So it asks something different. But yeah, in theatre especially, there's a big high. The adrenaline wears off and you kind of fall into a bit of a slump sometimes, but the slump has the payoff of like, wow, I just did that with my body. Yeah, it's a cool feeling.
What's happening on the gigs front? Because you've got some intimate ones coming up, right?
Yeah. So I actually, it's funny, I'm actually leaving the studio to do a gig tonight. I'm playing at, Kate DeRouge is currently on an Australian tour and she's a mate of mine, and I released a song with her and Greg Gould and Queen Kong a little while ago. So we're actually singing that all together at her show tonight. So I'm excited for that. I was actually just meant to play Sunshine Coast Pride Festival, but it rained all weekend and they had to postpone it. Like, it was monsoon level rain up in Queensland. But yeah, I've got some cool stuff coming up. I am playing at the Strings Attached Festival next year, where I'll be doing a set that's a very intimate stripped back set with the string section, everything. And that lineup is crazy. It's like, it's Kate again, Greg Gould again, Clee Morgan is performing, Joanne is performing. So that'll be really, really fun. And then a few other things that haven't quite been announced yet and I can't talk about. But like, yeah, there's lots of cool things happening for me. I'm very excited.
So performing tonight at the Jazz Lab in Leslie Street, just off the Sydney Road precinct.
That's right.
In Brunswick.
A very late plug, but I think there's like 10 tickets left. So like, if folks want to come and see Kate's show, you must. Because Kate's, you know, one of the OG winners of Australian Idol. She's a wonderful woman. She's got amazing stories to tell. So yeah, if folks want to come down, come down.
So you can't talk about what's in the pipeline. What can you talk about?
Okay, well, I'm back into a theatre show next year. I'm doing a play with Paul Capsis next year. Yes.
But you can't tell us.
No, I can. We've announced it. We've announced our Sydney season and our Melbourne season. We're doing it. It's a new play, and it's called House of Rot, Grey Gardens. So it's a new theatre piece being put together, inspired by Grey Gardens. So Paul will be Big Edie and I'm going to be Little Edie, which is going to be ferocious and wild and completely bonkers, and I'm so excited.
Imagine seeing you two on stage together.
I know, that's everyone's response when I tell people about it, or when we've done things about talking about it. It feels very correct for Paul and I to be playing mother and daughter. I've worked with Paul. I understudied Paul in Tommy, the musical, a few years ago, and we've been sort of good friends ever since. And it fell into my lap when I was touring in Hedwig, because it's been created by Dino Dimitriadis and Vicky Falconer, who were part of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So it's a whole new play that's been written and developed, and we're going to do some developments on it before we start next year. There's one more city to be announced, which I can't say. But we're playing at the Malt House next year and here in Nam, and then in Gadigal we're playing at the Hayes Theatre. So yeah, that's gonna be one for the books, I reckon.
I'm sensing electricity, sparks flying.
It's gonna be epic.
What energy, combined energy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you understudied, you must have got a taste of that.
Of Paul's energy, you mean? Or
just what it would be like, the two of you on stage together.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching Paul in theatre since I was a teenager. I remember seeing Paul as Riff Raff in Rocky Horror Show opposite Iota, and I remember seeing Paul on stage and thinking, oh, like, that's the kind of performer I want to be. Like someone so unique, so individual, so wild, so playful, and so unlike any other person. You know, whenever you see Paul in a show, it's because no one else was meant to play that role except Paul Capsis, you know? And Iota's a similar performer for me. They're sort of my heroes in a way as an actor. And to be now creating a new show where it's just going to be the two of us on stage is, yeah, I'm getting jittery just talking about it. It's pinch me stuff. I'm very, very grateful for it.
You are not out of work, are you?
No. I'm very lucky to be working quite a lot. And, you know, there's been definite times in my career where I haven't worked as much. And, you know, there was that 2020 incident, which we shan't go down that rabbit hole of why no one was working that year. But, I'm very lucky to be working a lot and just to be making stuff I'm proud of making, you know, releasing music I'm really enjoying and being part of theatre, things like Hedwig and now Grey Gardens, where I feel like I'm doing work now that I was always meant to be doing.
What are you writing musically at the moment?
So the new music. I've got some new songs that I'm working on. I'm working on a song with my friend Blake Applequist, and we're hoping to release that next year. And yeah, I'm just working with really cool people, and there is new music coming in 2026. People just need to stay tuned.
You're also very instrumental. I mean, you play the piano beautifully.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Any piano on the new song?
Well, Ballet Boy, actually, when I first sang it live, I performed it at my, I did a launch show last year at the Toff for my single Recipe that came out right before I went on tour with Jesus Christ Superstar. And at that gig, I said to my friend Sam, who I made Ballet Boy with, I said, oh, I reckon we do Ballet Boy, just piano. Let's just do a really stripped back sort of ballad version, just see how it works. And it works really well as a ballad. And so it is absolutely my plan before the year is out to get in the studio with Sam and record like a piano ballad version of Ballet Boy. So we're going to do Ballet Boy. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, whether it's just going to be like Ballet Boy acoustic or something. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think I'll definitely be recording that and releasing that very soon.
Wow.
It works really well.
So you're really going to get the kind of, you know, the underlying energy of the song out with the acoustic number.
Yeah, because as much as it is a pop song and a very upbeat sort of pop track, it's the story of it is very sentimental to me. It's a semi-melancholic story. It's about a lovely man who I had a romance with, and he moved to Europe because he landed a contract with a Europe ballet company. And I wrote the song sort of as a way for me to release him from me, I suppose. We're good friends now. Like, there's no hard feelings at all. He landed his dream contract. So it was a case of wishing him well as he left, but knowing that our sort of love story had a time limit and it had an end date, despite us, you know, still caring about each other. So the story is very special to me, but it's also very poignant. And so as much as I love the vibiness of the pop song Ballet Boy, I think there is a way that if I record it, just keys and vocals, that people might connect with the lyrics even more. So I'm excited.
Anna Noviello, really great to see you at 3CR.
Oh, it's nice to be back. It's nice to see you too.
Thanks so much for popping in.
My pleasure.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.